So this Sunday is the last Sunday I'm going to be looking at the book of Daniel for a series of messages. And the first half of Daniel is a bunch of really inspiring stories from Daniel's life and his three friends. And it's great material to draw life lessons out of. But then the second half is more visions and dreams, a lot more complicated. And as a preacher, it's real tempting to kind of just skip over that. But I just feel like we can't do the book of Daniel justice if we don't look at some of these visions and dreams that he had. And it's really what we would call apocalyptic literature, where it's emphasizing that God's going to come in very dramatic fashion and save his people in the midst of a lot of struggles and turmoil and tribulations. And so, but it can be hard to interpret. And I don't know if any of you have ever said, you've gotten to the book of Revelation and said, that's just too complicated, I'm going to skip over that. Well, I just want to get our feet wet in looking at some of those kinds of scriptures. So, just to give a little bit of a context here, this is the last chapter of Daniel 12 that we're going to look at. In Daniel 11, he's been having these dreams about this succession of kingdoms, but then finally the kingdom of God will just stand over all of them forever. In Daniel 11, it talks about this king who's going to rise up, described as a horn, and he's going to be the most ruthless and cruel towards God's people of them all. It's a Greek king. And I just want to read this just to, again, give you some context about what the people are going through and as they're hearing this vision, or this vision is for them. Towards the end of each vision, Daniel sees a king, sometimes symbolically portrayed as a horn, whose pride reaches to the heights of heaven, and whose lies lead many among the Judeans to forsake their covenant with God. This king desecrates the sanctuary and forces people of Judea to worship a foreign god. In later Christian interpretation, he becomes identified with the Antichrist. But for the earlier audience of Daniel, he was this Greek king, Antiochus Epiphanes. And Epiphanes means the appearance of God. And that's how he viewed himself. But anyway, in the midst of all of these, the suffering that he brings upon the people and trying to lead them away from God, we have this vision of Daniel 12. So I'd like you to listen as Chris reads it, obviously, but listen especially for any themes or phrases or ideas that you notice in other places of Scripture. And I'm going to ask us after the reading if you noticed anything from this particular passage that has connections in other parts of Scripture. And that's what I want to talk about today. What are some of the images we see in this Scripture? So, with that long preamble, we'll hear Daniel 12.
At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress, such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go there, go here and there to increase knowledge. Then I, Daniel, looked, and before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. So he must have been standing by the river. One of them said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? The man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river lifted his right hand and his left hand toward heaven. And I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, it will be for a time, times, and half a time, when the power of the holy people has finally broken, all these things will be completed. I heard, but I did not understand. So I ask, my Lord, what will the outcome of this be? He replied, go your way, Daniel, because the words are sealed, closed up and sealed until the end of the time. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. As for you, go your way to the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days you will rise and receive your allotted inheritance. Blessing, Steve.
So the reason we specially emphasized having your Bibles is it's hard to remember all the details of what Chris just read. But if it's in front of you, maybe you remember some things. And I just wonder, as we're sitting here and you heard that, did you hear any themes or images or phrases that, like, you could make connection with? That seems to be maybe a recurring theme in Scripture, or anybody want to offer anything? I can repeat it then. Becky. Okay. Yeah, everlasting life and receiving an inheritance, that promise that awaits. Yeah, Ralph. Okay, yeah, the abomination that causes desolation. We hear that at other times in Revelation. That kind of refers back to this as well. Okay, those who are wise, the wise and foolish virgins. Some were ready, some weren't. Well, I'll pick up on all these, but I just wanted to see what we were hearing. Anything else that? Kirsten first.
People coming out from dust. Like,
okay.
In Genesis, you know?
Yeah.
I heard that.
In Genesis, coming up from dust. Here, resurrection, like new life, coming to life from the grave. Yeah, and as far as those resurrected. Yeah. Yeah, there's other times it talks about those who are dead coming to life and then those who are alive also being called to Jesus. Yeah. Okay. Sealing up the words of the scroll till a later time. Yeah. Okay. So I want to highlight some things. I'm sorry, Rose. Yeah. Yeah, Jesus mentions a lot of these things. As I was studying this, I was realizing it seemed how much the New Testament writers had Daniel in their mind when they were writing some of the things. You could see there the same kind of thoughts and phrases and so forth. So I just kind of want to go through and just highlight some things. It starts out at that time. We're in that time. And might say that several times, but this idea that there's going to be a certain time when the Lord moves. I think it's in Galatians where it says at just the right time, God sent his son. You know, like God, the sovereign God knows where things are headed, and at just the right time intervenes to bring his mercies and his deliverance and his salvation. And I wanted to mention this at some point. A way that I tend to look at prophecies like this are that often there's a short term, it's pointing to something more short term, like in Daniel's day or the generations after Daniel. But then you could also look towards uh, the, the more what we say are the end days when Jesus is going to come back. But also even in our daily lives, we could maybe relate to some of this. Maybe not to the magnitude of what's described here, but that we ourselves experience this in our own lives. And at just the right time, God seems to move and speak to us or deliver us or move our congregation. So at just the right time, God seems to know when to step in. And as we'll see, it's off this promise too that, He'll step in before, our struggles and tribulations just overwhelm us. We have that hope. It talks about those written in the book of life will be delivered. That image of your name in the book of life comes up number of times. I think Jesus mentions it. It's again in the book of Revelation. And in Revelation 3, John's writing, I think, to the church in Sardis, and he says, "The one who's victorious will be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels." So we could all say, I've put my faith in Jesus. I'm written in the book of life, which would be a true statement. But it seems in scripture when the idea of your name written there, when that's mentioned, it's often describing those who endured. They held on to their faith, even though there was a lot of pressure against that. So the enduring ones had their name written in the book of life. So that's typically the context when someone's described as having their name written in there. They endured to the end, and now they're victorious and get their reward. And the idea of resurrection from the dead, we mentioned that. Resurrection wasn't mentioned so explicitly in much of the Old Testament. Now, when we get to Jesus, resurrection becomes obviously very central, and even in his teachings before he's resurrected. But here Daniel's very explicit about some being raised to everlasting life, some being raised to shame and everlasting contempt. But one of the, again, this vision is a word of hope for those who are struggling. And one of the things that statement says is justice will happen eventually. Remember, this is especially for people who are struggling and are thinking, where are you, God? How long are others going to overwhelm me and cause pain and disruption in my life? Those especially facing persecution. So that's why Paul says to the Romans, don't take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it's written, it's mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. So it's in line with those hopes, like we're not called to take revenge. We leave that in God's hands. And he's the wise judge who will make sense of it in the end. And if we keep faith, we will be ones who stand with him. So you can see some of these themes that come out all throughout scripture. Also mentions shining like the stars. Did you notice that part? Again, using that imagery. And the ones who will shine are the ones who are wise. And the ones who are wise in this context are, even though, like this king, this Greek king who's coming against the people, and leading them astray or, setting up idols for Zeus in the temple, the wise ones are the ones who don't fall for that, who don't give into that pressure or let go of their trust in the one true and living God. Those are the ones who shine, and especially the ones who lead people towards righteousness. They're going to especially shine. So that imagery of continuing in steadfastness to shine righteousness. You know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That image of letting your light shine. When Jesus talks about the weeds and the wheat growing up together, and again, by God's wise judgment, one day there will be a separation. And the wheat will be the righteous ones who shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. You know, the wise ones will shine because they hold on to righteousness. And Paul talks about shining like the lights in the world in a crooked and twisted generation, you know, shining through when all around might seem dark. So as Daniel's going on, he sees those two angelic beings as messengers, and he asks the question of them, you know, how long will this be? And if you notice, the answer was a time and times and half a time. And in some prophetic understandings that, you know, a time times and half a time would be like 1 and 2 and a half. 1, 2 and a half. 3 and a half. So 3.5 years becomes really important in some people's timelines of tribulation and so forth. And the time that this king, in a sense, terrorized the people in Jerusalem and took away their worship came out to 3.5 years. And all those dates at the end, 1,290 days, whatever, it's kind of that time period. But a more general way to understand this also is this time of trial and tribulation has its limits. Not going to last forever. It has its boundaries. And I even heard yesterday, or I read, an interesting way to interpret this that makes sense, in that when it says a time, would be like maybe our typical time as followers of Christ of facing some either personal temptation or tribulation from beyond us. But times would be like doubling that or increasing the intensity of that pressure and that persecution. So time would be like our normal, what we might face. Times would be that intensity is doubling and it's increasing. Like Daniel said that there'll be struggles beyond what was experienced before. But then a half a time means that all that's going to be cut short, or it will come to an end. So the struggles of God's people might increase and multiply, but it will be cut off. You know, and often you hear that in scripture. If the Lord wouldn't have been merciful and kind of stepped in, who would have endured all of that? So that can be a word of hope again for the people who are hearing this, that might not be getting all the specific answers, but there is a limit to what the trials that we might face as followers of Jesus. And talking about the power of the holy people broken or shattered. And I don't think God's saying here, I'm going to have this persecution until the power of my people is just utterly broken and they're in shambles. But they're going to lose, in a sense, they're going to lose their power. That word means like shattered or scattered. And Watchman Nee once said, a Chinese missionary, he said the persecution of the Chinese authorities is like hitting a piece of glass. It shatters and it scatters everywhere, but then the gospel goes everywhere with that. So the power of God's people can really be shattered, or we, in a sense, we lose our power in this world. But just like Jesus, when he lost his power, he did his greatest work, you know, from his crucifixion. That was his greatest victory. And typically when followers of Jesus lose their influence or earthly power, but continue to walk humbly and faithfully with him, that's when some of the greatest power of the Lord comes through that. Not when the church uses its power to dominate and make its way, but when we seemingly are crushed and lose our power, but we remain faithful. It's some of our greatest testimony time for Jesus. So again, you can see how all this is a word that would really be important to hear for those who are facing great pressure. And Daniel says there's going to continue to be righteousness. There's going to be continue to be wickedness until the end, until all this is fulfilled. And we know that Jesus talks about that again, the wheat and the weeds growing up together. But the one who endures, many will be purified and made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. So it's this call, stay faithful, stay humble, continue to be wise as you set your eyes on Jesus. And blessed is the one who will endure to the end. And so this messenger ends by saying, go your way, Daniel. And I just hear that a word for us just saying, when we're trying to figure out where all this is headed and trying to predict where it's going to go, I could hear this message to us saying, just continue on your way. Day after day after day, be faithful. Whatever that day brings you, continue to be faithful. Continue to shine. And you'll be one of those who's written in the book of life, and you'll shine forever and ever. So that's just a kind of a brief overview of how we could look at this particular scripture. And some of the takeaways are just a call to us for steadfast endurance, especially if we feel like we're facing a lot of trials and temptations. What are we just saying? Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? Take it to the Lord in prayer. You know, continue with that steadfastness. Continue to understand that God is sovereign through whatever this world seems to be offering to us, and that He will limit our struggles. There are some boundaries to the struggles of God's people, and there's the hope and the reality of resurrection, and a call not to be arrogant. One of the ways that this king was described was that he was reaching for the stars. And symbolic of he reached for all the power, you know, and that he was God. But he never attained that. But those who humbled themselves were the ones who shone like the stars. So a challenge for us. Don't be arrogant, but in your humility, those who are humbled will be lifted up. And also a call to pray for the persecuted. You know, like, I have to admit, I'm not on a daily basis just wishing that Christ would return and make all things new. You know, that's it is my hope, but it's not like the pressures of my life just force me to cry out for that to happen. But there's many believers throughout the world who just, feel like, can I endure any more of this? And those especially are the ones who this is written for. And we can pray for them that they will endure to the end, even as we will. And not to become complacent, even if we're not facing all of these trials and tribulations and persecutions, but continue to be steadfast. So I'll close with this, because one of the image is also given in the latter part of Daniel is this vision of the Son of Man coming. And if you remember, last May, I don't know if you call it a trial sermon, but my sermon when we met you last May was about the Son of Man. And it was a quote from Daniel, that the Son of Man has this dual image of the one who has all authority, but yet the one who is humble and is a servant as a man to us. So in Daniel 7, he has this vision. In my vision, I looked, and before me was one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and people of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. So as we wait Let's continue to hold that vision that Jesus stands with all dominion over all creation today and tomorrow and forever. And that we would keep our faith in him. Yet he's also that humble servant who says, take all of you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me and find your rest in me when life is just overwhelming for you. And so let's be those who endure to the end. Amen.